From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. A federal judge has dealt a blow to solar energy companies trying to block a rollback of state incentives for the industry. As Peter McGuire reports, the judge denied the company's request to stop the new law and ruled they are unlikely to prove that it violates the Constitution.
Owners of more than 100 solar farms sued Maine utility regulators last year, alleging illegal retroactive changes and new fees in the net energy billing program would bankrupt existing projects. But Judge Stacy Newman says the companies are participating in the program voluntarily, and added charges can't be considered an unconstitutional taking. She adds the state was within its rights to rein in the program, amid escalating costs that were passed on to electric customers. Judge Newman denied the company's bid for a preliminary injunction on the law enacted last year. An attorney representing the companies did not immediately respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The number of sexual assaults reported by members of the Maine National Guard has declined significantly in recent years, but the Guard's top officer says she's not celebrating yet. According to an annual report to the legislature, there were 5 sexual assaults reported to the Maine National Guard during fiscal year 2024. That's the lowest number since 2019 and compares to 18 assaults reported just 2 years earlier. But Brigadier General Diane Dunn told lawmakers that those numbers could show that assaults are down or that some abuses are going unreported.
We want people to report, and we want to provide access and all the resources that are available. So I don't want to create a culture where it's numbers-based and that we're focused on, you know, the number being low.
Dunn says 21 sexual assault offenders have been removed from the Guard over the past decade. Lewiston City Councilors approved an emergency ordinance Tuesday night that prohibits city employees, including police, from cooperating with federal immigration agents for the foreseeable future. The measure was passed in a 5-2 vote after more than an hour of debate and public comment. Lewiston City Councilor David Chittum says he worked with the police department to draft the ordinance.
The organization has been operating under what's called an administrative order. This specifies that it is a judicial order, which is the standard for activities that ICE has alleged to have been undertaking. It now is not covered in Lewiston with an administrative order. It has to be an order signed by a judge.
The ordinance takes effect immediately. It will expire once a similar state law kicks in this summer. The city of South Portland and the Portland Jetport have reached a settlement in a dispute over unauthorized tree cutting in a South Portland neighborhood last year. Molly Anking has more.
Last January, the Portland Jetport allegedly violated a city ordinance while doing tree cutting required by federal regulation for runway clearance, clearing more trees than had been agreed upon in a 2019 plan approved by the city. Now, the Jetport has agreed to pay $125,000 in restitution for cutting down trees and disturbing the adjacent wetlands, and has committed to replanting at least 75 mature trees in the affected area.
According to the settlement agreement,
the Jetport will also be required to restore the wetlands in the 5-acre area with a plan approved by the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
A man who was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement last month in Saco is back home in Maine after posting a $2,000 bond. Makengo Neza left behind a wife who was recovering from an emergency C-section, a baby who was still in the hospital, and 3 other young children. Concerned that his detention could go on for months, members of their church stepped in to help, and on Sunday he returned to church to thank them. Susan Sharon has more.
Even Pastor Scott Cousineau of the First Parish Congregational Church said he wasn't sure if Neza, known by everyone as Makengo, would be up for a Sunday service. He'd only been released a few days earlier in Massachusetts. But as Cousineau waited by the main entrance, a smile spread across his face when Makengo and his family suddenly appeared. Other parishioners hurried over to greet them.
Here they come.
In an interview, Makango echoed what others have reported around the country, that conditions in ICE detention are tough.
I was sleeping on the floor. It was too cold. No good condition on sanitation.
An asylum seeker from Angola, Makango has lived in Maine for the past 8 years. He says his ordeal began on January 23rd, when he was pulled over and arrested at gunpoint by federal agents. He was then driven 4 or 5 hours to a facility in Burlington, Massachusetts, where he was detained with more than 45 other men. They were given water and snacks, he says, but over the next 6 days, there was very little to eat. It was crowded. There were no beds or blankets. Eventually, he was transferred to a county jail in Plymouth.
I was there almost for 2 weeks, and my hearing bond was on February 5th.
About a week after his hearing, Makango's $2,000 bond had not yet been posted by a local nonprofit. So Carol Spencer LeMay, a friend of the family and fellow parishioner, drove down to Massachusetts to personally post it and bring him home. She says she didn't want him to spend another weekend in jail.
I posted the bond and I'm sponsoring him, so I feel obligated now. But it's more than obligation, it's love. I mean, I love the family, so I want to help out. It's part of my calling as a child of God.
While he was in jail, the church set up a GoFundMe for Makango that has raised more than $55,000. They arranged meals for his family and rides to the hospital for his wife to visit their baby, tutored the children, and did chores around the house. He says plenty of other people also helped out.
I get good support from Maine community in general and my church and Reverend Scott and African community too, Rotary Club. It was a good support for me to help for this process.
Makango says he knows he is fortunate, which is why, during Sunday service, he asked to say a few words.
And now I want to make or invite someone to come forward for making an announcement. Makango, could you come forward, please?
First, Makango thanked God. And then he spoke to his first parish family.
Your support was grateful. I want to pray for you again, 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 all in my life. Thank you.
Afterward, Kathy Balarjan, who's been helping the family, said it lifted her spirits to see Makango reunited with his wife and children, including the new baby, now home from the hospital. But she says she also thinks about other detainees.
You do feel like, I wish I could do more. I wish I could help them all. And I wish they'd all have the same amount of support that we were able to give Makango and Lydia and the family.
Makango says he plans to return to work in a few days and to meet with his attorney before his next court hearing later this month. Because unless he is granted asylum, he says he knows he won't ever be safe. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Charon.
Maine consistently ranks as one of the least religious states in the entire country, 49th, according to the latest report from Pew Research Center. But a couple of denominations are bucking that trend, Unitarian Universalism and Quakerism, for example. Tonight, in the first of a two-part series, Nora Sachs looks at the reasons why.
We don't salt it, there's salt right behind it.
On a frigid Sunday morning, dozens of people are grabbing popcorn and settling into their seats at the Evening Star Cinema in downtown Brunswick. They aren't here to catch a matinee of Hamnet or Marty Supreme. Instead, they've come to hear Reverend Dr. Karma Amos on the big screen.
No matter who you are, whom you love, where you are from, or where you live now, we welcome you.
Amos is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Brunswick, whose brick-and-mortar location is just down the street. Because attendance at Sunday worship has almost doubled, sometimes it's standing room only, the church is experimenting with live streaming services at satellite venues like this one. Her sermon today is on the themes of resistance and acceptance.
Many of us have been flooded with emotions as we have seen our neighbors terrified by the deployment of ICE here, and as we have heard the stories of people afraid to leave their homes.
Jane Field, executive director of the Maine Council of Churches, says in most mainline Protestant and Catholic churches, attendance has been declining in Maine and around the country. But ever since the 2024 presidential election, she's been hearing from some faith leaders about the opposite trend.
We don't have room for everybody, and families with small children are suddenly turning up after being gone for a generation. And it was always Quakers and Unitarian Universalists who were saying this to me, not other traditions.
For some UU congregations and Quaker meetings around the state, like the Allen Avenue and Augusta UUs and the Midcoast, Vassalboro, and Durham Friends meetings, the growth has been more of a slow trickle or a steady stream. Whereas others, like the UU churches in Brunswick, Bangor, Rockland, and First Parish in Portland, and the Portland Friends meeting, are reporting more of a tidal wave. Some new members stopped going to church long ago. Others had never set foot inside one until now. Amos and other faith leaders say it's all being driven by one thing.
Political angst by people tremendously concerned with the direction our country was going in or could go in.
And over, she says she hears from people who are craving a sense of community and a feeling of hope.
Like not to dwell in despair, but to rally one another, to support one another in gaining the energy to resist and to, more than that, strengthen ourselves for who the people we want to be in the world are.
Field says it makes sense that people who are seeking a spiritual anchor right now might gravitate to denominations that don't require believing in strict religious dogma, like the divinity of Jesus Christ, to belong.
And so it is a step removed from what some might assume all Christians think and believe and do, based on what you're seeing as represented by white Christian nationalism and the rise of the MAGA movement in the United States. So it's a safer door to walk through.
To be clear, Quakerism and Unitarian Universalism are distinct denominations. Quakers often gather in silent worship, and there's no designated spiritual authority. Jim Grace, with the Portland Friends meeting, says that's because Quakers tend to believe in something called the inner light.
The ability for every person, regardless of their background, to perceive the truth and to be guided in their spiritual journey.
Unitarian Universalists do have clergy, and worship services tend to draw from a potpourri of spiritual and cultural traditions. But what both denominations have in common is that they're organized around shared values, like the inherent worth and dignity of all people. They're pluralistic, welcoming people from all different backgrounds and faiths, and they have a long-standing commitment to social justice.
I think a lot of the new folks were hearing that we were, I like to say, you know, we do the worship and we do the work.
Reverend Norm Allen is with the First Parish UU in Portland. First Parish organizes weekly community food distributions and recently hosted the city's emergency warming shelter. Its clergy and members participate in weekly protests and prayer vigils, and Allen was one of nine faith leaders recently arrested at an anti-ICE pray-in at Senator Collins' office. He says Unitarian Universalism's focus on walking the walk, on deed over creed, is a big part of its appeal. But it's still a church. It's not
a social action organization. It's a church where we talk about the big unanswerable questions. So along with all of that other work, we take time, we take silence, we use music to explore the questions that cannot be answered. And there's something that's really deepening and beautiful about that experience. And that's the church experience.
Jane Field with the Maine Council of Churches says she hopes the increased visibility that the Unitarian Universalist and Quaker denominations are experiencing right now might lead to more people reconsidering their assumptions about religion. She says maybe
a trend will flow out of this for people to give us a second chance to think about not just the damage and the horror that's been done, but the good, because it's there.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And tomorrow, Nora will share the stories of three people who recently joined the Quakers and a Unitarian Universalist church. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.